Hello, listeners. I'm Nina Instad, and this is Deadball. Turn on the news any day, and along with top stories, weather, and sports scores, there's often a report of a car accident. Every local news channel has their own department dedicated to traffic, and car accidents are too often the cause of highway delays. Auto accidents are a leading cause of serious injury and death in the United States and much of the world. In the U.S. alone, at least 38,800 people died in accidents involving an automobile in 2019. In 2020, less people were behind the wheel driving to work and social events because of COVID-19, but initial reports indicate that road fatalities in the United States increased in 2020 from the previous year. Auto accidents account for the leading cause of death that is not an illness. And these accidents can be horrific. The results of a split-second decision by one driver can result in warped metal, shattered glass, and mangled bodies. Cars are small and carry just a few passengers at a time. The number of injured or dead are typically 1 to 4. For the families, the abrupt loss of a loved one's life is nothing short of traumatizing. According to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the average passenger car weighs just over 4,000 pounds. Think about that the next time you consider driving impaired or checking your phone for messages. You are literally driving a 2-ton death machine at high speed. Cars are dangerous enough, but as we examine in this episode, buses are much larger and heftier. The standard Greyhound bus weighs over 35,000 pounds and carries a dozen or more passengers. So with a weight 9 times that of a coupe or sedan and numerous additional passengers, an accident can be even more gruesome and bloody. The Spokane Indians' minor league history dates to the 19th century, 1892. The nickname Indians was adopted in 1903 when they joined the Pacific National League, a predecessor to the Pacific Coast League, an elite minor league of the period, equal to AAA ball today. In 1937, the Indians became a charter member of the Class B Western International League. They played at Ferris Field from 1937 through the beginning of World War II in 1941, and again from 1946 until their final season in 1954. It was just over a year since the Nazis surrendered to the Allies, ending the Second World War. There had been 3 years without baseball from the Western International League during that time because so many of the men on the field were fighting in Europe. The league's last year of play before the war, 1942, saw the Spokane Indians as the cellar dwellers in the four-team league with a dreadful 58-83 record, a .411 win percentage, while not as embarrassing as Arizona's 2021 .321 win percentage, it was nothing to write home about. The Western International League resumed games in 1946, and in the middle of a hot June, Spokane began a road trip that would first take them to Bremerton, Washington, where they played a series against the Blue Jackets. For the Blue Jackets, this was their first year in the Pacific Coast League. In a Twilight Zone-esque plot twist, the Indians' annual team photo had been taken between games of a doubleheader the evening before the bus crash. Around 10 a.m. that day, the Washington motor coach left Spokane with 16 members of the Indians. It was a downpour and visibility was limited. John Dutch Anderson, team trainer of the Indians, did not travel on the bus. He was in San Francisco on personal business. In a cosmic stroke of luck for Jack Lorkey, an infielder for Spokane, he had been called back up to the San Diego Padres of the Pacific Coast League and was also not on the bus at the time of the accident. To track Lorkey down, the Spokane business manager asked the Washington State Patrol to find the bus along its route and have Lorkey call the front office. The cops found the bus stopped at a restaurant along the highway and relayed the message. Now, Lorkey had a decision to make. He could continue with the team and take the bus to San Diego once they were in Bremerton, or he could hitchhike his way back to Spokane. Lorkey decided to hitchhike. At 22 years old, when you think you're Superman and the world is your playground, who wouldn't like the adventure of hitchhiking? The expression young, dumb, and full of, well, you get the idea. Of Lorkey's 15-year career, he would spend 7 in the show, 5 seasons with the New York Giants, and 2 seasons with the Philadelphia Phillies. He would come to be known as Lucky Lorkey, not just because he cheated death in Spokane, but because he cheated death numerous times. Born February 25th, 1924, in Los Angeles, Lorkey was a star middle infielder for Southgates High School. His exceptional play earned him a roster spot with the Twin Falls Cowboys of the Pioneer League, where he was named team MVP. He played a smattering number of games with the San Diego Padres, who at the time were members of the Pacific Coast League during the 1942 season. But being 18 in those days meant you belonged to Uncle Sam and would soon find yourself thousands of miles away fighting a war. Estimates show that around 400,000 Americans died in World War II, and, on at least 4 occasions, the man standing next to Lorkey during a gunfight was killed. While he may have been lucky himself, Lorkey was nothing short of an anti-rabbit's foot for the man standing next to him. In 1943, while riding on a train with other troops, he survived a crash without a scratch, but that crash killed 3 other passengers. In 1945, Lorkey was set to fly to Los Angeles on a military plane, but was bumped at the last minute for a higher-ranking official. 45 minutes into the trip, the plane experienced mechanical failure and it went down. Everyone on board died. Jack Lorkey, he avoided death once again. In a 1994 interview with Sports Illustrated, he said, "When you're the age I was back then, you haven't got a worry in the world. You're playing ball because you want to play, and they're giving you money to do it." The road that brought vehicles up and over Snoqualmie Pass at the time was US 10. And as the bus climbed the pass on the 2-lane highway, dusk was drawing near, and already hard rain turned into a deluge. The accident happened at 8 p.m., 4 miles west of the Cascade Mountain summit, about 50 miles east of Seattle. Glenn Berg, the bus driver, told investigators that an eastbound black car crossed the center line in front of the bus at a location 4 miles west of the summit. The car sideswiped the front corner of the bus as Berg maneuvered the vehicle into the right shoulder. Before driving over the edge and plummeting between 300 and 500 feet into the ravine below, the bus veered off the pavement, skidded, and demolished 125 feet of the protective barrier along the side of the road. In 1946, protective barriers weren't designed to stop a 20,000-pound bus traveling at high speed. The bus rolled and tumbled 3 times, shattering glass, scattering belongings, and ejecting several players out of damaged windows. It came to rest upright, and if all of that was not horrific enough, minutes later, the bus caught fire. Along with player manager Mel Cole, players Fred Martinez, Bob James, Bob Kinnaman, Bob Patterson, and George Risk all died at the scene. Vince Pichetti, the first baseman, died just as he arrived at the King County Hospital in Seattle. Pitcher George Lyden succumbed to his wounds the next day, and catcher Chris Hartja, who had suffered third-degree burns, would die 2 days later. Except for Vic Pichetti, all the deceased players served in World War II. "I saw the headlights coming toward us on the wrong side of the road," Levi McCormick, Spokane outfielder, told a reporter at Harborview County Hospital. "The road was slippery. Our driver applied his brakes. We swerved across the road into the guardrail. We went through. We went down. I've never heard such hell. I don't know why we didn't smash the other driver. It might have been better." Second baseman Ben Garrity corroborated McCormick's account. "I saw the lights coming," he said. "The car was on the wrong side. We either tried to miss it or skidded. I don't know. I went out a window, too quick to tell." In all, there were 6 injured players, 3 of which would return to the baseball field, while the other 3 were forced to quit the game they loved. the bus driver would spend 4 months in the hospital, and except for talking with police, even with numerous requests, he never granted an interview. The black car and its driver were never identified. Various baseball teams across the country and many fans donated generously to help the men and their families. A benefit game was organized to generate money for the Spokane players. The Pacific Coast League and the Western International League cooperated to pull the event off. The Indians would need to borrow players from other teams for their July 4th comeback game. The team finished the season with a roster of players from wherever they could find them. From the donations and the insurance payout, money was sent to the injured players and the relatives of the deceased. Darwin Gus Hallberg was one of the luckier passengers on the motor coach that day. He was supposed to be sitting next to third baseman Jack Lorkey, the man who was tracked down by the Washington State Patrol, and hitchhiked back to Spokane. Had Hallberg knew of the luck doomed to those around Lorkey, he may have called a cab to take him the rest of the way to Bremerton. After the 300-foot nosedive into a ravine, but before the fire, Hallberg crawled through a broken window, cutting his arms and face and burning his hands and cheeks. He helped some of the other survivors out of the wreckage and up to safer ground. Hallberg told MILB in 2006, "I couldn't believe it was happening to us. It was a sensation that I can't really describe. I couldn't comprehend that we were actually going over. I saw a flash of light and determined it was probably flames." Hallberg was one of the fortunate ones. He spent 6 seasons playing professional baseball, peaking in 1941 with the San Diego Padres. Today, the Spokane Indians still play ball as a high-A affiliate of the Colorado Rockies and boast some famous alumni. Tommy Lasorda managed the club from 1969 to 1971. Roy White played in 1967, and 10-time MLB All-Star Steve Garvey, he played for the Indians in 1970. The Dead Ball Podcast was created by Tim Scott and narrated by me, Nina Instead. This episode was written and researched by Thad Scott. Audio production by Chuck Walters. For more information on the podcast and to connect with like-minded baseball fans, visit the Dead Ball Discussion Group on Facebook.